Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Corey. Well, we're coming into a busy time of year. As Jerry said, we have a list of all these events, and you know, it's fun to look forward to. I wanted to mention to you ladies, on December 5th, which is a Saturday, we have our women's Christmas brunch, and I'm really excited about it because we have a friend of mine, Angel Smythe, who I've known since she was a little girl. Angel is this amazing singer. She was in the old High Tops with Crystal Lewis, and she's a singer at Saddleback Church for many years, but she has a ministry now. And the girl's just been through some really tough times, and God has refined her, and she's come through it. She has a great testimony and an amazing singing voice, and so I'm really blessed that she's going to be able to come on the 5th to be a part of our women's event. And so, ladies, you can begin signing up today in the office, and I know that you'll love it. It'll put you into a Christmas mood. But there's so much stuff going on. I don't think we have it on the thing, but we'll talk about it next week. But our senior adults have an event that night that sounds fun. There's so much going on. But, you know, in the middle of the holidays, when maybe for many of us, we are just so excited that, oh, it's this time of year, so many memories, such a flood of... At the same time, it's important for us to remember, not mope about it, but for a lot of people, this is going to be a tough holiday season. This is going to be difficult, especially for those who have lost a loved one. When the holidays come around, it's just a constant reminder of who's missing. That picture that Jerry put up there of me, where he got it was after my mom had died. He and Justin were helping me clean out my mom's condo, and that picture was on the wall, and they pulled it out of the trash, and it keeps popping up. But I know that, you know, when Thanksgiving and Christmas come around, it's like you miss the people who you love. And they're not here anymore. And for some of you, you're looking forward to the season and everybody's all excited about it. And inside you, there's something that just feels dead. There's something that feels like, oh, here it comes. During the holiday season is one of the greatest times when people struggle with depression and anxiety and things like that. And we shouldn't let that ruin the holidays for, you know, those of us who are like, have nothing to miss. But at the same time, we want to be sensitive. And because of that, I've asked Pastor Kenny to do a special little couple-hour seminar on dealing with grief and dealing with these dark times in our lives. When, if you feel this coming, Kenny's brother, Paul, just passed away a few weeks ago. And so Ken, who's always taking care of all of us, was then there taking care of his family, and then having to find in himself just that comfort and strength from God. And so I can't think of anyone better to do this. And so on Sunday the 6th, that's 2 weeks from today, after third service, we're going to have a luncheon, and Ken is going to just share some of the things that he's learned about dealing with the pain in our lives around the holiday season. And so I don't want anyone to feel like they're just alone or they feel like nobody understands. So mark it on your calendar. In fact, Ken will be in the office after the service and you can sign up. It's free, but obviously if we're having lunch, we need to know how many people to expect. It's also something that if you know someone who's really going through a hard time, you might sign up for you and them and invite them to come with you so they don't have to come by themselves. But I know it'll be a time of strengthening and comfort and just to prepare people for this time of year that can be really trying for them. So you can sign up for that and put it on your calendar and think of maybe who you can invite. It doesn't matter. Maybe your life is hurting because of a broken relationship or just because of you had a birthday and you're feeling old, or, you know, there are all sorts of things that cause us to just go, holidays, yuck. And so I hope that you'll participate in that. It might just help you get through a tough time of your life. Well, now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. The second book of Peter. Peter wrote this book right before he was going to die. He was there in Rome. He ended up being crucified in Rome. And he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't think he deserved to die the same way that Jesus did. So he wrote this book to kind of say, here are the last things that I want you to know before I'm gone. Now, this year and last year, we have spent 2 years as a church going through Bible stories. The Old Testament Bible stories in 2014. In 2015, we've gone all the way through the New Testament pulling out Bible stories. So for 2 years, we've listened to Bible stories. But here's the thing. It's easy to sometimes take those Bible stories and they become just stories. They become just like, yeah, that's an old story that happened a long time ago. And sometimes it just doesn't register. No, this is actually real. This is really true. And that's what Peter was concerned about here. He was about to die, and he was communicating to people, I don't want you to lose the reality and the veracity, the aspect of truth of what the Bible teaches. And I'm telling you, my story is something that I don't want you to forget because it's an important part of all that God is communicating. And so let's begin reading with verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, referring to his body, a temporary dwelling place, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. These weren't just stories. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, or the prophetic word became even more confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So here's Peter. He's saying, we've told you about Jesus. We've communicated with you the truth of the Scriptures, which at that time the Scriptures was primarily just the Old Testament. But he said, I'm about to die. And so I want you to know this. These are not just stories. They're great stories, but they're so much more than great stories. They're true stories. They're real. And he said, as I'm looking back on my life, I can never forget the way that God showed me in one particular event that stands out in my mind, this is real. This is not just a belief. This is true. And he began to relay the story of what we call the Transfiguration. This is a story that's contained in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in the story, Jesus says beforehand, there are some of you standing here who will not taste death until you see my kingdom, see me and my kingdom. And so then it says, Jesus told Peter, James, and John, the three closest friends that he had, the three closest disciples, he said, let's go for a long walk. And they headed off and they went up a mountain. they didn't know what to expect, really. He just said, let's go have a prayer meeting. And they're like, usually a prayer meeting with Jesus meant they would sleep and he would pray. And so they got up there, and Luke's gospel makes it clear that Jesus started praying and they started sleeping. And when they woke up, they're rubbing their eyes and they're like, whoa, Jesus is glowing. And Moses and Elijah were there, and they were glowing, and they're talking about Jesus' resurrection and what's about to happen. And they're like, whoa. And Peter, the one who wrote 2 Peter, goes, this is a great day. And it's interesting, in the Gospels it says, Peter didn't know what to say, so he said. You know, Peter's one of those guys, if he didn't know what to say, he wouldn't let that stop him from saying something. And he goes, let's build a statue for all three of you guys. And a cloud came and ascended, and the voice of God came from heaven. The same voice that had come, by the way, when Jesus was baptized by John. And the voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And as the cloud lifted and they were hiding, they looked up and they just saw Jesus. He wasn't glowing anymore. It was just regular Jesus. Moses and Elijah, long gone. And then Jesus told them, this is a special event, but I don't want you to tell anybody about it until after I rise from the dead. And they were like, rise from the dead? What is that? Now, Jesus told them that, knowing the disciples, come on. You know they told people. But, you know, they tried to, don't tell anybody, but here's what we saw. And people probably thought they were nuts who didn't see it personally. So now here's Peter at the end of his life. And he is saying, you know what stands out in my mind? As I'm telling you how real Jesus is and how true his scripture is, I'll never forget that day on the mountain when we heard the voice of God come from heaven. And in this case, he doesn't even mention the fact that Moses and Elijah were there, which in the beginning, that was the biggest deal to Peter. Jesus with Moses and Elijah, you three, woo! You know, now he's like, Jesus was glorified, and I'll never forget it. That was life-changing. Now, it's sort of interesting that that's the event that stuck out with Peter. If I was Peter, I might have said, I'll never forget the day when with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Or I will never forget the day when Jesus was walking on the water and then I did it for a little while. Never forget that. He's certainly not going to say, I'll never forget the day when Jesus called me Satan, because, you know, that's not one you talk about. But I probably, more than anything, I would have said, I saw Jesus risen from the dead. That to me would have trumped everything. But see, here's the thing. Certain events hit certain people differently and impact people differently because we are all individuals. For instance, John, who was there at the Mount of Transfiguration, in his gospel, he never mentions the Mount of Transfiguration. Maybe alludes to it in John chapter 1, verse 14, where he says, we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So maybe he was sort of alluding to it, but as we go through his gospel, he doesn't even mention Moses and Elijah and shining and, you know, voice from heaven, nothing, because everyone's different. Now, we will see next Sunday as we look at John's account in 1 John, that the memory that John held to was his relationship with Jesus. That I held him, I touched him, we fellowshiped together. So different people have different things that touch them. But for Peter, seeing the glory of Jesus in this moment and hearing the voice of God from heaven, he goes, I'm never going to forget that. And so he tells this story and tells the people, I just don't want you to think that this stuff that you read in the Bible is just fables, is just fairy tales. I want you to know I experienced something that will be in the Bible. I was there as an eyewitness. And I'm telling you, this is real. This is not fantasy. This is not a delusion. I was there and I heard that voice. And what did he say? This experience caused God's word, caused the prophecy to be that much more confirmed. You know, the more greater word of prophecy that some of the versions say, it means the same thing. What he's saying is God's word was even better based on the experience that I had. Now, that's great for him, because this is shortly after the event and Peter saw all this stuff. But remember, when he's talking about the prophecy, he's not talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament, okay? New Testament, much of it hadn't been written, or at least wasn't acknowledged as scripture by most people. So what Peter was saying is, what I experienced showed me more how real the whole Bible is because of this experience. Now, here's the problem for us. And certainly, having an eyewitness account means a lot to us. Having somebody like Peter, a real guy, say, I saw this, it means something to us. All of the testimony of the apostles causes us to go, wow, this is really true. Or why else would eyewitnesses attest to it when they could have been easily debunked? But fast forward almost 2,000 years, the story of Peter talking about the story of the Transfiguration, it can start to sound like just another fable because it's been so long that even that story sounds like all the other stories in a way. And we categorize them as being, it's a storybook. They are stories. But these are stories that are real. Now, Peter's point is, you have revelation from God. The people who wrote the scriptures were carried along by the Spirit as they wrote. And that is prophecy. Probably he didn't realize that what he was writing at this point was prophecy and would become a part of the canon or the official group of books that constitutes our Bibles. But here's the thing that I think he's trying to get to. You have revelation. You have that which is acknowledged as being God's holy word. We call it the Bible. This collection of 66 books by like over 40 authors over thousands of years that we can sit here and say, this is the word of God. But as Peter is saying, you have revelation, but you also have confirmation. That is, there are experiences that make the scriptures even more viable, more reliable, and that actually prove more. Look, it's really true. It's not just stories. Now, how does that work? Well, here's the thing. God didn't want to just write a book. He could have written the whole thing all at once. Because faith and a relationship with God is not just about knowing the Bible. Some of the people who know the Bible best don't believe it. Some of the people who know the Bible least really trust it. Our faith system is not a system whereby you learn more and more and more, now you know a lot. Our faith is one in which the Bible impacts and affects and vitalizes the way we actually live life. So it is, the scriptures tell us, it is alive. It is powerful. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. God breathed it so that it would be real in our lives today. And so the Bible is a living book that is to be vital for us right now. It is something that teaches us how to live. It's something that when we experience life, it blends with and actually confirms what the scriptures say. It's not just revelation that we're interested in. It's revelation coupled with experience, how we prove the truth of the Bible in our lives, actually. Now, before you freak out, I'm not at all saying that, you know, revelation and experience, they're like equal, and you have to, you know, weigh them out. Experience can never judge God's word. An experience can never be interpreted valid if it counters God's word. God's revelation is exactly that. It's what God has said. And that stands. However, If it's real and if it's alive, we should also see it proved to be true in our lives. We should also experience certain things because God didn't want us to just have a mental assent to a lot of historical facts and go, that's it. He wants to change lives. He wants to see people growing and maturing and therefore confirming what the Bible says. So I can understand what the Bible says, but if I begin to live like what the Bible says and it ends up, I go, this really works. This is actually practically being proven. Every time what he says is seen in my life, I am confirming and I am showing that that word that I trust is actually even better by the fact that I am experiencing it. I can attest to the fact that, no, this is real. This is actually happening in my life. See, God has a plan for every one of us. Ultimately, his plan is that we're going to be just like Jesus. And in this passage, when he says, you need to have a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Someday when Jesus comes back or we go to be with him, all of a sudden now we will begin to shine like never before because we will be like him. But the process in the meantime can be dark and you know, scary, but the light begins to leak out. Little by little, we begin to see this development where we're working out the salvation that he works in us, and we should be able to look at our life and go, over and over again, I see that when I do what he says, then the things that happen are the things that he says will happen. As I live life the way he tells me, my life becomes more rich and more full. I'm able to endure tough times, and I'm still standing. I'm actually confirming the revelation of God. I am proving what his word says. Now again, if your experience is counter to the word of God, then you are misinterpreting your experience or you're misinterpreting the word of God. But if you take the word of God and apply it to your life will prove the word of God. Your life confirms it. Your life supports it. At the same time, when you understand his word correctly, makes your life make a lot more sense as well. And that's what he wants. And that's what Peter was concerned about because he's like, I'm not going to be here forever. So moving forward, if you can't benefit from my experience, and then if you can't grow and expand and have the light come up in your own life, then someday it'll just be a storybook. Someday it'll be no better than Aesop's fables. That's the way life will be. It's so important because I think that because we love God's word, and the Bible is amazing, but because of it, we can start thinking that life is all about just knowing the Bible. If you memorize the whole Bible, but it's not changing your life, if you actually don't believe it enough to actually do what it says and see that it really works, then you're no better than a computer that has the Bible, all the translations and everything all jumbled up in there. I can spit out a verse anytime I want. No, the whole thing is, what's your life look like? Are you demonstrating the abundant life? If it isn't, then you make the Bible look like fairy tales. It looks like something that you say you believe, but it doesn't affect the way you live. On the other hand, if it's working in your life, people go, wow, I want the Bible to be a part of my life because I see in your life that it works that way. As I look at your life and I see the Bible, I'm like, whoa, this is making a lot more sense. So what do we do? What's the application for us? First of all, I think it's really important for us to continue to listen to stories about what God is doing. I think that's really important because once we're just talking about old stories. A lot of times when you hear people, there are a lot of pastors who, whenever they tell a story, it's like one that happened way back in the 60s or something. They give you the idea, God hasn't done anything since, but man, you should have been there back then. That was amazing. What that says is, we're carrying on traditional stories. But it's important for us to listen to those stories. It's important for us to read church history and see how God worked through the last 2,000 years to find the kernel of truth that's there in like every era, every denomination, every movement reminds us that at the core, this is confirming what God's word has said, everything good that God has ever done. But it's not just historical. I think I love reading Christian biographies because somebody takes the time to tell their story, and their story as God's working in their life, I can go, that's cool. I really love that. One of the guys in our church, Bob Lang, who I've known for 30 some years, I think, he was an alcoholic, just really a mess, in and out of jail, in and out of, you know, just halfway houses and everything. And he gave his life to Christ, and he had a little rough start, but then he became just consistent. In fact, I remember when he came to me, I was running the school at Calvary, and he interviewed for a job. And he had been sober for like 9 months. I'm like, reapply next year, let's see. And sure enough, during that time, he was serving God, he was ministering to others, he hadn't fallen off the wagon, and so we took a chance on him. And he taught fourth grade there for many, many, many years. And he wrote a book that tells his story. Many of you have probably seen it. It's available on Kindle now in a couple languages and everything, but it's called Uncle Bobby's Finally Sober. The cool thing is, still, as I pop that thing off the shelf and I look at it and I read it, I'm like, wow, it's so good to read what God did in somebody's life. When I read what God did in Bob's life, it encourages me to trust God that much more, especially when I meet people whose life is where his used to be. And I think there's no reason to believe that you can't come out of this. There's no reason to believe that God can't do in your life what he's done, what he did in Bob's. And I have lots and lots of biographies because I love reading people's stories, and it's important for us to listen to those because they actually confirm the truth of the scripture, just like Peter's did. But I think also just listening to people's stories personally, getting to know somebody and go, hey, tell me your story. One time I went to a pastor's luncheon thing, and I was sitting next to people I didn't know, and one of the guys goes, so, tell me your story. I was like, what do you know? What did you hear? But I think that's such a cool way to approach somebody, to say, I want to listen to your story. Because there are people that you know really well that you've never had a chance to really hear their God story, to hear what God has done in their lives. And every time you hear something like that, it reinforces, it establishes, it encourages in a way of, wow, God's word actually works. God still changes people. So we should be listening for those stories. Secondly, we should share our stories. Because like Peter, we realize, I don't know if I'll have this person in my life forever. So, and this is so important intergenerationally that as we get older, we tell our stories to younger people like Peter was doing so that the story can continue, so that people can at least say, I knew a guy, I knew a woman who told me that this happened to them, that this was what impacted them. So exchanging these stories, at the same time, some young people have an amazing story of what God's doing in their lives. And listening to those stories inspires you. Listening to those stories makes a difference in your life. Every time I marry somebody, I get to hear the story of what God did to bring these two together. And every time I do, I'm just amazed at what God does. And it's another tangible picture of the fact that the God who wrote the Bible is still working. Every time I do a funeral or memorial service and I hear people talking about how somebody's life impacted them, it's the same thing. I love hearing the stories even of people I don't know because it's another confirmation that God is real and his word is true and that he is faithful. So we need to listen to stories and we need to share our stories or even write them down so that we can pass them along to somebody else. But more than anything, we need to experience stories. We need to experience faith in action in our lives. And how do you do that? Well, look at the disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration. They did not say, let's go away with Jesus and I bet we will have a great experience. No, they had no plan at all of seeing Jesus glorified with Moses and Elijah. That was not on the agenda. And you'll find out that when people try to create experiences, it almost never works. It always falls flat. There are whole, you know, church systems who are designed around, we're going to create an experience. But it always feels kind of plastic and phony, and it's just not real. But what the disciples did, they went away with Jesus. They just followed him. And they set the time aside where they didn't go, well, Jesus, I only have one day. Nope, they went and they hiked up a mountain for a long time. If you want mountaintop experiences, it's not going to happen if you won't go to the mountain. But as they went with Jesus, listening to him, being with him, when they least expected it, they had this experience that for Peter would be, this is what I brag about now. This is the one I'll never forget. On my deathbed, I want you to know this story. If you want to have those kinds of stories, it's not going to come by trying to. It's going to come because you're with Jesus and you're listening to him. Remember what the Father said on that mountain was, and Peter doesn't record the whole thing, but he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter doesn't even mention that, even though all three of the Gospels that give the story mention it, because he did listen. And that's why this happened. If we won't listen to God, if we won't read his word and see, okay, God, what does this say to me today? If we won't get away, if we won't set aside time, instead of every time we get away, it's for a vacation where everything is scheduled and planned and there's no break and we never have a time to just go take a walk with Jesus, it's pretty predictable. We're not going to have that many great experiences. We're going to be talking about our life and say, man, I'll never forget that one day when I made that big sale. I'll never forget that one day when I was almost in an accident and, you know, somehow I didn't get in an accident. Those are good stories, but there are better experiences than those that we can live with if we take the time to be with Jesus, listen to him, and allow him to give us an opportunity to go, wow, whoa, I will never forget that. There are times in my life, and they usually came when I didn't expect them, when I had an experience that, and some of them I don't tell people about because they might think I'm kind of weird, but those experiences changed me. Those experiences transformed me. I mean, some of them are things that people experience and they don't make a big deal about. If you've ever had a baby, you know what that's like. Oh my goodness. You don't, I'll never forget when my first granddaughter was born and my son Will is in the delivery room and little Sadie came out and Will's just crying and I thought he was dying and he's on the floor and he's just, and I had this flashback to the way I felt when he came out. And it's like, maybe you just can't explain it to people, but God, so real. It was so, it just felt like something that came from somewhere else. It felt like anything but, oh, isn't it amazing the way genetics designed this person and they come out and, oh, that's great. It's not like going to the toilet and getting rid of your last meal. There's something amazing about it. And that may be amazing to you too, but... Are you giving him the opportunity as you take your time, as you notice what he's doing, to say, wow, that just made God look more real to me? And as you tell someone else the story, it's never going to be as real to them as it is to you, but it helps. We need to challenge each other. Find those stories. find those events. And it happens as you hang out with Jesus, as you listen to what he says, as you take your time, as you go up to the mountains, whatever you do to just say, okay, I'm definitely ready to hear. I'm definitely ready to experience. Every one of us who's ever lost someone that we love, all of a sudden we look back and go, I will never forget that day. I'll never forget when that happened. I'll never forget that moment. How much more? With the only relationship we have that literally lasts forever, to say, I'll never forget when God did this. And it let me know what he says in his word is actually true. Now, you don't use God like, okay, prove this one, prove this one. But if you hang out with him enough, things are going to happen that cause you to go, wow. And it may take you time before you can actually absorb it. And for Peter, I don't know if he had talked about it that much or not. But at the end of his life, he goes, that was a day. Hearing that voice, that was amazing. If you don't get off with God, if you don't listen to what he has to say, if you aren't open to him doing miraculous things in front of you to confirm the validity of his word, then ultimately you just believe in a good storybook. The story isn't finished yet. Jesus, the morning star, is in the process of rising in your life and in your heart. Don't miss it. Don't miss that opportunity. If you are a Christian, I pray that you will make the space in your life so that you can have those experiences that let you know how real his word is. Take the time. Be open. Tell your stories. Listen to other people's stories. Understand this is important. Is it as important as God's word? In some ways, yes. Because those experiences actually make God's word more real and vital to us. If you have a Bible and it stays on the shelf, it's not doing you any good. But this Bible is amazing because it speaks to us in every way. And it's so relevant because the Bible works today, not just a couple thousand years ago. Not just during the Reformation, or not just during your confirmation or communion or whatever. No, it's alive. And he wants it to be a part of your life. Let that happen. Look in your life how every day God is proving that his word is true. And tell those stories and listen to other people's stories. If you don't know Jesus, you've never really become a Christian, you may feel like, I don't really have a story about the Bible at all. I remember getting one when I was a little kid. I remember going to VBS or Sunday school. But you know what? First of all, your story already is a lot more complex than you think. Because the fact that you're in church means that God has been working behind the scenes. You probably came here for one reason, and he had a whole different reason. But your story, if you don't know Jesus yet, your story can be just beginning. All you need to do is give him permission to work in your life, and all of a sudden, regularly, you will have experiences that cause you to go, wow, that book, it's more real, it's more supported, it's more applicable, it's speaking to my life every day. But it starts by you inviting him into your life. And if you haven't done that, you can do it today. There'll be people down here in the front who would just love to pray with you and usher you in to a story that's never going to end. And your eyes can be enlightened where you can see God and you can see his word in a whole new way. You can find out that this book is all about how you can know God. And if you haven't done that, please, please do it today. You're in a story that ends really, really badly if you won't give your life to Jesus Christ. So you can do it today, and I pray that you will. After the service, come on down. Start life over. Get in the story yourself and find out that God has had a plan for you. And it's not just all fairy tales. It's real. you can know him. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for all the great stories. But I thank you that your stories haven't ended. That as we take time to walk with you and live with you, listen to the people around us and exchange stories, we realize you are as real today as you ever were then. That every day in our lives there are opportunities to see your word confirmed again. And then the word of prophecy becomes even better because it works now. So help us to look for that. And for anybody who doesn't know you, help them to know there's a story that they don't even know about that brought them here today, but there's a story that can begin with them having the faith to come down to the front and just pray to get started in a connection with you and your word. Help them to know they're not here by chance. This is the day when their story takes a turn for the better. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.